welcome to Red Ice Radio, independent online radio program dedicated to providing you, our audience, with diverse research and opinion on a lot of different topics. Tune in and follow us at redicecreations.com and redicemembers.com. Josh Del Sol is the producer, director of the film Take Back Your Power. Around the world, corporate utilities and governments are racing to replace electricity, gas, and water meters with new generation smart meters with surveillance capabilities, quietly using billions in taxpayer funds. But at what cost to human rights, finances, security, and health? With compelling insight from insiders to government representatives, whistleblowers, lawyers, doctors, and environmentalists, Take Back Your Power investigates claimed benefits and emerging risks of this ubiquitous smart grid program. Transparency advocate Josh Del Sol takes us on a journey of revelation and discovery while asking, are smart grid technologies effective, safe, and eco-friendly? Are corporations violating foundational rights and privacy without providing a benefit in the name of green? Hi, Josh. Hope you're doing well today. Thank you so much for coming on the program with us.
Thank you, Henrik. It's great to be on your show. I've been listening to you guys off and on for since the very beginning. So thanks for having me.
Great. Well, first things first, great job on the film, Josh. Really good. Well put together and a lot of important stuff in it. So good job on it.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
So it's a dark, dark picture that is painted in the film. Very, well, heavy stuff, I'd say. And this is precisely what most people need to hear, actually, to realize the magnitude of the situation in order to wake up. I mean, the connections you make in the film are excellently, you know, executed. There are, you know, the bigger dots that are connected. You get an idea about the bigger agenda because it's not only about smart meters. It's about the future of mankind, really. The structure of the infrastructure that's being laid down in society, primarily in the cityscape and suburban areas, but also out in the countryside, as you show in the film. And there's really the feeling that I'm left with after I've watched the movie is that there is a kind of a silent war that's been going on for quite some time, and it's been ramping up in the last few years. Would you say that that's a good assessment?
Yeah, absolutely, Henrik. In our film, Take Back Your Power, which is now actually available, we just released it 3 weeks ago, and you can watch it on our site, takebackyourpower.net. We basically uncover this emerging story that's been It started around, I guess, in the mid-2000s and then really ramped up around 2009, 2010 in places like California where these so-called smart meters were being installed. Henrik, I started to hear about people getting sick immediately from having this new electric meter on their home, this digital, you know, low-level microwave transmitting device. And I was flabbergasted that wasn't being discussed in any meaningful way. So that's kind of the inception of the project. It was about 2 years ago, and I just wanted to find out if these health concerns and these people reporting getting sick from their electric meter, if that was real or not. That's where it all started, and then it snowballed from there.
How long were you working on the film?
Started in October of 2011, so it was just under 2 years, start to finish.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of good interviews, and there's a lot of diversity, people from different, you know, fields and everything else. And, of course, we'll get into discuss, you know, some of the bigger aspects of the films and highlights in it as well. But if we back up just a little bit then, I don't think anyone listening don't know, but give us an outline a bit of what a smart meter is.
Well, basically, it's, the old meters, electric meters on our homes were traditionally functioning meters. So all they did was calculate how much energy is being used and going into the home. So they manually turned. They had a dial that turned, and most of our listeners are most likely familiar with these meters. So in the last 10 years or so, new meters started to getting put in with basically they're plastic instead of glass. They're made in China. They're actually not UL tested or approved, and they're digital meters instead of analog. And because of that, they have what's called a switching mode power supply, which we'll probably get into later in the discussion. So they're transmitting. These are essentially they're devices designed for two-way communication, but they have metering capabilities. So in essence, the predominant feature and or intention of the device is communication, and that's communication wirelessly with bursts of radiation every few seconds on average. And in the future, they'll be communicating all the time, not only with other meters on the external of your home and with the entire smart grid. This is their plans. Again, I don't believe that they will achieve their stated goal of the smart grid. But so in the future, the plan is to not only be communicating with everything, sending your data outside of your home, but actually within the home as well to all of your appliances, which would, according to this plan, be wireless communicating with the meter 24/7.
Well, exactly. Just to briefly share with us, why do you think they won't be able to pull it off?
What we're seeing is a huge pushback, Henrik, worldwide. And we started to document this in the film, and now the film has become part of that pushback because we've realized how serious of an issue this is. I mean, we're talking about a global grid that's going to have the capability to extract information about everything you do in your own home in real time. And then transmit that data. Obviously, that would go, you know, to the NSA, to governments, and they've actually admitted that they want to, you know, sell the data on the open market. So this isn't just how much energy you use. This is everything that you would, you know, eventually, it's everything that you would do in your own home in real time, including things like, you know, facial recognition, voice recognition, even patents that talk about what kind of mood you're in, you know, what kind of mood is being spoken about there, and products in the home. So this is, you know, it's essentially it's a worldwide centralized control grid, and it's using energy as the excuse, as the backbone, if you will, to attempt to push this off. So many people are realizing that this is basically this is the way that the powers that be on this planet are attempting to you know, just go for the total enslavement grid. The smart meter on your home is emerging as the pillar of you know, the technological function that's going to enable that. So many people are realizing that, in addition to, you know, people not realizing that but just getting sick. People are having health problems, and hundreds of thousands of people across the world now are reporting to their utilities that they're having health problems or they're deeply concerned about this kind of a thing. And then all the other issues with fires, with costs going up, and with hacking vulnerabilities. So a combination of all of these issues, these clear-cut problems with these smart meters is prompting pretty significant pushback. And as an example, Germany just this past summer has said, you know, we don't want smart meters in Germany. At first, the reason was because of cost concerns, or, you know, basically they're not saving money, they're costing more money, and they're not saving energy. And then it came out that Germany is not going this route because of privacy concerns, and they don't want to go the route of fascism. There's enough people in Germany that are still remember the fascist scenario there 70 years ago. So there's a whole bunch of reasons why people are pushing back, but the pushback is starting to get quite significant, even with hundreds of local governments passing ordinances now banning these meters.
Yeah. So, of course, a lot of things here to get into hacking and everything else, but one thing I want to point out is that this new system then that's going in, as you said, it's not only about the smart meters, it's about a bigger grid, a bigger infrastructure that's connected to information, data mining and everything else. But this system kind of piggybacks on the, well, a little bit on the global warming scam, but also in terms of carbon credits, cap and trade, and such things, right?
Yeah, you know, there's a quote in the film that we have President Obama basically admitting that as part of his cap and trade system, electricity rates will necessarily skyrocket. And this was 5 years ago, and we're now starting to see just the leading edge of that. I mean, absolutely, Henrik. The whole thing. I recently wrote an article, and that's posted on our website, takebackyourpower.net, and it essentially walks through the entire, connects all the dots in the article. Almost everything that's main points in the film are actually connected in that article. So anyone can get up to speed with this issue as a primer to watch the film. With this article, and it's called "Is This the Potentially the Largest Corporate Scam of All Time?" And some people might scoff at the idea. Well, how could smart meters be the largest scam of all time? But when you look at the fact that, I mean, the EU has planned to invest 700 billion in this centralized control grid over the next 17 years or so. That's almost $1 trillion, and that's just the stated plan. You know, so basically, it seems like the entire economy is being shifted towards this idea of scarcity and this idea of penalizing, you know, anyone who either doesn't go along with the official program, so austerity measures, instantly having, you know, electricity shut off, or whatever the measure that they choose, as well as, you know, using too much energy, what have you, having too much emissions. So basically, you know, the whole thing is deconstructed in our film, and there's so many reasons that people need to wake up and just say no to having one of these devices on your home.
And this could change at any time. I mean, even though people at current levels, if you will, might think, whatever, you know, it's exaggerated. We're getting to the health effects of this later, of course, but just focusing on the energy consumption and everything else at current sets of standards and everything. Obviously, one of the things you detail is that the prices immediately went up, although one of the official reasons was that it was going to go down, so complete reversal in that. But if we look at, you know, into the future, we could have a scenario, just as you say, where basically because of your energy consumption, your energy might be completely shut off, your electricity, because of you've basically used too much, right?
Right. I mean, it's crazy. They could basically say, come up with any reason to make an excuse to penalize you by shutting off your electricity or your water or your gas. And there's no recourse. You know, we're kind of, it appear to be moving into this state where there's like a technological separation, or technology making a class-based separation, widening the gulf, you know, between the elites and the people, rather than balancing it out. So there's this huge, obviously, you know, you interview so many brilliant guests on your show, Henrik, about this awakening that's happening and people realizing the state of the corruption. But at the same time, this smart grid is the basis for the elites to attempt to widen that gulf, to completely remove any human interface between the people and the elites. So at any time, they could impose whatever austerity measures they wish. So it's, you know,
it's dependency, really. Then at the end of it, it's become dependent on a centralized system where you basically can be remotely shut off, if you will. Let's say that the allegations arise, you know, we're a couple of years ahead in the future. More systems have been put in place where it's, you know, they have a profile on you somewhere in some database, and it's decided for whatever reason. This could even be like an error, like they show in the movie Brazil, you know, where you have a one letter wrong in your name and you're being targeted in that regard unlawfully, and you're being shut off from all these systems that actually is keeping you alive.
A good friend of mine who is very active in the smart meter discussion, raising awareness in the United Kingdom, he basically, you know, told me in one of our conversations that he was in touch with an insider, and the insider confirmed of the plans to instill measures of a penalty, you know, carbon taxes and fees and so forth, where people have their window open at the same time as their heat on. So this is the kind of thing that would be obviously very possible if there's, you know, information that's being extracted all the time coming from your home on everything that's going on. So this is the kind of thing. Absolutely, you could, you know, kind of make up rules as they go. If we allow them as the people to continue to go down this path.
Let's talk a little bit more about how the infrastructure works today when it comes to how they can snoop on people, but also what you think might be possible in the future. We have things like, you know, the Internet of Things. Basically, every appliance, everything is going to have an IP address and to a certain extent be connected to this smart grid, right?
Right. That's generally the idea, is to make everything online. And it's really, you know, quite perplexing, the reasons that they give. And one of the main problems, in addition to the privacy, is when you put everything online, everything becomes hackable.
Yeah.
There's no security anymore. You know, as the former CIA director even said, James Woolsey, he's in the film as well, basically said that what they are calling a smart grid is not smart at all. It's really, really stupid grid. And the reason is, the example that he gave is like a student on a cell phone in China who has some hacking capability can log into, you know, your home, hack into your home and do whatever they wish. And this has actually been demonstrated. I mean, there's like Vanity Fair articles of all things.
Oh, yeah.
You know, demonstrating how easy it is for anyone who chooses to, with very little knowledge about hacking and computers, to get into a so-called smart home. So it appears that this is a mechanism for the chaos before their, you know, desired order from that chaos, Henrik.
Okay, so is that the reasoning behind this? Do you think to make it stupid, to make it vulnerable, to make it like a incoherent, so that it will be have monumental vulnerabilities, and therefore that will lead way for something more at the end of it, an even more regulated control system, perhaps? What do you think?
You know, it's possible. It's definitely possible, and I think there's a good chance that at some level that's part of it. Because when you make everything and everyone vulnerable, when you take away security, when you basically remove the basis for our civilization, when people don't even know if you're going to have energy or food or water, or, you know, are you going to do something that's considered disloyal to the government and have that shut off. Or hacking or a solar flare or any of this stuff, you keep people, you know, the whole idea, I think, Henrik, is to keep people in as low of a place on, Maslow's hierarchy, if you will, of needs, to keep them from self-actualization, which is actually, there's this huge, that I'm seeing, you know, many others, people I talk to, see that there's this huge awakening towards the self-actualization on the planet of human beings. And they're trying to, you know, push us down even more by removing any sense of security. So, and we see that in other issues as well that we won't get into right now. But I think it's definitely part of it, Henrik, to make everything vulnerable. And then there's, you know, even former CIA director and Cynthia Ayers and people like that are talking about electromagnetic pulse issue. So
yeah,
the threat of, you know, and we're told that it's like China or Iran or somebody that's threatening to have an EMP and take everything down. So, of course, the reality is much different than that, but it seems like there's vested interest in making everything vulnerable from the highest levels.
Well, exactly. I mean, even if those allegations were true, then we're doing this in the complete opposite direction of what we should be doing. We should not do a centralized system that is vulnerable like this. We should break it down into smaller pockets, smaller cells, so that, you know, if it's infected, it wouldn't run throughout the entire system, but just a small pocket would be, you know, hit or taken out or something like that. But complete opposite.
You would think so. You would. I mean, so much of this just defies logic, let alone morality. It's amazing. I mean, there's obviously a vested interest to keep people from producing their own energy. And there's a clip in the film, a comment in the film about that. You know, when people are producing their own energy, and when we move towards microgrids, the whole grid becomes more secure because we're not all, you know, reliant on some centralized beast.
Yeah.
We can produce energy and we can feed it into our home, feed the excess into the grid, and form community collaborative energy networks. And I believe that's the way of the future. As we make the transition to more and more, you know, free energy or renewable energy technologies.
Exactly. So this is one part I want to talk about later, how not to be dependent, what to do. You know, you mentioned the microgrids, free energy. I want to get into that and also health later on. But tell us just a little bit about how this grid has been pushed and the way that it's been implemented. You have some, of course, brilliant examples in the movie that just basically shows from people kicking down doors to get these things installed, to people getting arrested. It's just, what is this incessant drive to put these things in place?
Well, I'll give you a reason for the motivation that the utilities have, and that is in the United States. I'll just use the United States as an example. In 2009, around $11 billion of the stimulus money went into the smart grid. And so that was basically divided up as financial incentives to all of the utilities in the country to install smart meters. So they would only get the money, and in many cases, it's in the hundreds of millions of dollars to, you know, if they install the smart meters. And so there's a huge financial incentive, even though local governments are saying, no, we don't want them, even though people are you know, up to 94% in one poll said that people should not be forced to have these things. They're steamrolling ahead because at the utility, at the corporate level, it makes sense for them in the immediate future with the income and with the stimulus money. And in the longer future, they're going to be charging people time of use, so increasing electricity 2 or 3 or 10 times during peak hours, and basically just extortively charge people through the nose for their energy. So that's one level of the game that's being played here, Henrik, and that's what gets the sort of the lower level, the utilities on board with this thing, and having them complicit really in breaking established laws that have been foundational to Western civilization.
Yeah. Now, how far has it gone with a few of the people, I guess, that you know of even more directly or just heard about, who basically has refused the smart meter? They've fought it to the extent that they can, you know, barricading, try to, you know, prevent people physically from really getting it on the house, etc. How far has some of these cases gone? People have been put in jail, right?
Well, here's the thing. I want to give this some context, because what's happening is there's, you know, there could even be up to 1 million people in the world that have wrote their utility that said there's no way I'm having this meter, and if you put it on, you know, you're going to suffer the consequences. And there's template letters that we have on our website, and various groups have these things. So this is a widespread issue, and people are you know, flooding their city council meetings. Even since the film came out, I saw a clip on YouTube just the other day of a woman in Arizona brought a copy of the DVD, our film, Take Back Your Power, to their city councils. And she said, do you need to, you know, or have you seen this? You need to see this if you're thinking about installing smart meters here, because you need to know what you're not being told from the utilities and from the governments higher up, and, you know, ICLEI representatives and the whole gamut.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
The idea is to make a few people as poster, you know, men and women for the campaign of fear. So make a big story out of a family that had their electricity shut off for 7 weeks, or two mothers that went to jail and got arrested and are actually being charged, one of them criminally, for being involved in preventing a meter install. Actually, the one mother that's being charged criminally was actually just simply photographing taking video of a police officer.
Ooh.
So this is a big, you know, fear campaign to get people to be complicit, basically tacit, and just allow these things to happen. But the reality, Henrik, is that the utilities are in huge amounts of fear themselves of people waking up and taking a stand and actually writing a well-crafted document that can assert liability, because there are such things, and there are ways to assert liabilities to these to the complicit criminals in the utilities and in government that are pushing these things, and many people are doing that. So I just wanted to give that some context. In the province where I'm from in Canada, up to 100,000 people are still saying, no, we don't want these smart meters.
Yeah.
Just in one province of about 4 million people. And, you know, nobody's being told that they even have a choice.
Right.
It's up to the grassroots. And, you know, one of the main points of the film is to let people know, yeah, you have a choice, and here's what you can do about it.
Exactly. I want to discuss more about that later, and even, of course, if it's already on your house, what to do at that stage. But there was that one case you bring up in the film, Naperville, I think it was, in Illinois, where the police came and everything else. And someone must have told, obviously, the police as well, that this is of immense priority. And even, let's say that there's someone fighting it, we need to make an example out of them and show others, like, if you refuse, this is what happens, right?
You know, I don't know, but what I do know about that situation is that the city, controls and owns the utility. And in cases like that, the city, the city councils are, for the most part, just complete bullies with the situation until they're pushed with enough awakening by their constituents, by the people there in the city or town. So I, you know, if I was to guess, yeah, there's something going on with police officers being notified to do this and to even potentially even to do this on camera and make a big story of it. I don't know. But the way it rolled out was really half the story. And there's a huge resistance to the smart meters being installed in Naperville, in that city in Illinois. And the fact is that the city is in a lot of hot water. And it's only up to the people and the groups willing to continue to push forward the resistance. And if they just stay with it, then I believe the end result is that the city is going to be held liable, and there would be going to be some serious consequences. And it's like that in all cities where people are fighting back and where the city councils are bullying.
Now, as bad as the corporations are that are behind this, where the state have control, it seems to be even worse in some cases. I can do one example of that, and that's in the town where I'm from, Gothenburg in Sweden. Mm-hmm. The government there owns the power company. They're one and the same, Göteborg Energi, they're called. And I think they're actually one of the cities, the first cities in the world that's going to be turned into what's known as a Zigbee city. Do you know what that is, Zigbee, that technology?
Yeah, well, the Zigbee, as I understand it, is the second transmitting device that's installed in many different types of smart meters. So it's actually in there. It hasn't been activated in many smart meters, but that's designed to be activated in the future and transmit at 2.4 gigahertz to communicate with all the appliances in the house, which are, we already mentioned they're wanting to have wireless smart appliances. So I haven't heard the details about Zigbee cities or zones or anything like that, no.
I have to do some more research on that as well. I stumbled upon that just a while ago in terms of checking on the status more or less in Gothenburg, because where I'm at the moment, a little bit more rural, I'm very fortunate not to have a smart meter on the house, but I'm sure it's going to come soon, and I thought it would actually be more widespread in Sweden, at this stage, but actually it isn't yet. Some areas that are rural has actually been spared. How is it like in your country, let's say the U.S., there seems to be more that this has been mandated to be in every single house all over the place, right?
Well, it hasn't been officially mandated because it's a voluntary program on paper. It's a federally sponsored voluntary program, and the utilities are creating the idea that it's mandatory, right?
Right.
So it's this perceived illusion that you have to go along with the program. Now, we have a utility representative in the film who is interviewed, and it's quite telling as far as there is no legal requirement to go along with this. So when you said smart meters coming on your home, my mind quickly went to, okay, well, let's work with you, Henrik, and let's get you a copy of the letter,
right.
the template prevent your home from being a microwave surveillance state. But
yeah, exactly. Well, run us through that a little bit. Let's say let's begin with the scenario if it's not on your house yet, and then we could talk about if it is on your house, what to do.
Okay, so if you still have an analog meter, if there's no smart meter on your house, the first thing that we really recommend is to, after somebody watches the film or even before, just go to our website, which is takebackyourpower.net.
And watch the film first, by the way.
Yeah, watch the film. Yeah. I mean, we're getting some tremendous feedback on it, and
sure,
it's not all bad news for people out there. There's some hugely inspiring segments, especially towards the end of the film. So, on our website, we actually have a take action guide, an action strategy guide that walks you through the process. You know, do you have a smart meter? Do you have an analog meter? And it's very informational. It provides you links to websites that have the templates, that have the documents for you to either prevent the meter install or have it switched out. But the first thing somebody needs to do if they do not have a smart meter installed is write their utility, a letter, and send it registered mail if you can. And basically say, I'm not going to go along with this. I demand to not have a smart meter on my home, and if you install one, this is the penalty that you face. And you can include some facts in there, and many of the templates do, and actually include, you know, for every day that that a meter would be on my home, if you ignore this, I'm actually going to fine you, you know, $1,000 a day or whatever it is. And you can actually, and the thing is most people, we've lost the, we've forgotten our ability that we're always, you know, creating. We have the ability to create a contract with other individuals, mm-hmm. and between us and a corporation. So when the utility tries to use these methods of contracting with you to bully you, you can actually use those same methods of contract, and you can assert your wishes upon the corrupt utility. And what we're finding is that often at that point where the utility knows that they're dealing with somebody who's awake and in touch with their ability to have a written consequence on this issue, the utilities will, you know, will back down.
Well, that's encouraging. And let's say it's on your house already then, and there's a couple of things we can divide that up into. Let's say that you rent the house versus owning it yourself and you don't want to have a smart meter. What's the approach in that case?
Well, it's always preferred if you're renting a home to have the, you know, have your landlord on side and aware of this issue and backing you. But even if your name is on the utility account, but you're not the owner of the home, you still, you're the customer. You're paying, for electricity.
Right.
And you have the right to say no, for whatever reason you choose to. So it's not like, you know, you need to have the homeowner on board. You don't. If you're the customer, if you're paying the bill,
yeah.
then you're the one who can stand up for yourself and protect your rights. And you don't need a lawyer to do so, and you don't need to spend any money to do so.
So if we, for a moment, stick within the fictional world that is the law, who owns the meter that is on the house? What's the score there in terms of what can be done with the actual device itself? I've heard of people who actually... what was it? If it was destroyed three times for, you know, unknown reasons, they actually took it off. There's a number of those
right.
cases that came up. Yeah.
Yeah. we actually interviewed a doctor who spoke about that in Germany. If the smart meter is destroyed three times, then they'll put an analog meter on to save costs.
Yeah.
So we don't recommend that. But
there could be a way around it potentially.
Yeah, the bottom line, Henrik, is that utilities are really afraid of people standing up for themselves, and they're doing this whole thing under tacit acceptance and implied consent, and the whole thing would and I believe will fall apart once enough people even just write a notice to their utility and get neighbors around them aware of this.
Let's get into the health issue a little bit here in terms of what you discussed in the film and then what's known about, well, again, as I said, this is not only connected to the actual smart meter, but the bigger grid of all the Wi-Fi devices out there. But let's just stick to the smart meter first of all. Then pulses is coming out from this thing. What's the range again in the gigahertz level on this? And up to 9, I think, 9 gigahertz.
Well, the frequency at which most smart meters are transmitting on the external of the home is 900 megahertz, and the average rate of transmission is every few seconds. So the utilities have actually been caught with their pants down lying and saying things like, oh, it's only on for 45 or 60 seconds a day and that it's safe. And you know, standing next to your smart meter, you would have to stand next to your smart meter for 20 years for it to equal a 30-minute cell phone call, and just complete nonsense.
Yeah.
So we've actually, you know, found evidence and uncovered it in the film that utilities were caught lying about the frequency of transmissions, and that they are transmitting up to 190,000 times per day in some cases. And utilities will say things like every 4 to 6 hours is a transmission to the utility. But the bottom line is, as far as the health effect, is the transmissions are happening 24/7 every few seconds. And so what the science is indicating is that there are huge biological effects with this type of radiation at these types of power densities. and the authorities, the utilities, and governments are totally ignoring thousands of published scientific studies because it doesn't fit in with their plans. It doesn't fit in with their assumption that the scientific community has had since the 1950s and 60s that there's no such thing as what's known as a non-thermal effect with microwave radiation. So it's really amazing that this is happening, Henrik, but in the face of literally 6,000 published scientific studies that say there's an effect to this kind of radiation, the industry and governments are actually saying that there's no such thing as a non-thermal effect, and that you have to heat up the cells and heat up the tissues by a certain amount over a certain period of time for there to be a damaging effect. So they're completely ignoring thousands of published scientific studies. They're completely ignoring, you know, hundreds of thousands or you know, however many people that are getting sick from these meters, and they're just kind of making up their own illusion as they go along.
Yeah, so the problem here is not the science of the matter, but the propaganda, rather, of how they're avoiding the science that has been made and the tests that has been made already. You have, for example, Dr. Ulla Johansson from the Karolinska Institute, you know, talking about the bioinitiative report. I mean, Sweden and other countries, they have done studies on this over and over and over again in terms of the detrimental effects, you know?
Yeah, there's been 1,800 new studies, Henrik, in the last 6 years that have been added to the 2012 bioinitiative report. And for anyone listening who wants to get an understanding of the sum total of the science on this, you can go to bioinitiative.org, and all the science is there. But 1,800 studies in the past 6 years have shown that there's damage happening with this type of radiation, and still the governments and utilities are just pushing forward. So it's like there's obviously a willful ignorance, and it's getting to the point where some of the harm that we're uncovering, it's not just, you know, people getting the odd headache or not sleeping well. It's much, much more serious than that. And as Ole Johansson talks about in the film and in his research, you know, according to the published science, we're talking about complete infertility within five generations, according to Ole Johansson and other researchers. So this is like, it's obviously it has huge implications, but we've been so conditioned that, you know, Wi-Fi is safe, cell phones are safe, and we've just got so conditioned to use the technology to rely on it. But the fact of the matter is it's very harmful. And as a comparison between a smart meter and a cell phone, I actually did an informal test myself here with a testing device several weeks ago, and I measured the power density of a cell phone at 1 foot away from the cell phone on an active transmitting call compared to 1 foot away from a smart meter, and the smart meter was actually 8,000 times higher.
Yeah, there's an incredible boost coming out of it. So why is that? Well, is there any necessity in that?
Well, the meters themselves are designed to emit radiation and communicate with all the other meters and all the other network infrastructure and towers and routers and hubs that are being installed, again, without notice or consent. Mm-hmm. And so the idea is not everyone lives in, you know, ickly communities where, you know, your neighbor's 10 feet away, right?
Yeah.
The other thing as far as like the radius of transmission is that a utility called Encore Electric in Texas actually admitted that their network infrastructure, the routers and the collectors, have a radius of, like, per transmitter 5 square miles and 125 square miles for the more powerful one. So these are, like, literally, you know, it looks like a cell phone tower, or it looks like the microwave installations that are becoming ubiquitous along roadways and in neighborhoods and even some residential areas. And the cumulative effect is, you know, very, very alarming according to the whistleblowers and doctors and research that we've uncovered.
You can see, you know, as you said, some of these houses that are really tight, they can be like, you can see 20 of these things just like packed right up against each other, and some people even, you know, sleep against that wall, you know, where the smart meter is. I can't even imagine how those people feel.
Right. And the thing is not everybody has physical symptoms. And so just right now, still with the levels of radiation that are currently in our society, perhaps 3 or 5 or 7% of people can tangibly feel, and have physical symptoms of being around smart meters, being around, close to a Wi-Fi router or something similar. But what we're finding is that we did dark field microscopy.
Yeah.
We worked right. with a doctor in the film to do that and also the other lab work at the cellular level. And in both cases, according to both of these doctors that we interviewed with their own research, everyone is being affected according to what they're uncovering here.
And that basically shows the mutation of the cell on the microplasm of the cell, that this is, the walls of the cell is basically, degenerating just after a couple of seconds for some people.
Yeah, as you can see in the film, one of them had mycoplasma, and the other one was had the kind of a corrugated type cell membrane, and the third sample had rouleau happening after just 2 minutes of exposure, standing a foot away from the meter. So, very, very alarming indeed.
How far away do you think one has to be for it to be safe, if there have been such a thing? And I would reckon that this, even science on that would differ quite extensively. But obviously, ideal, get rid of it altogether and all that. But let's say that it's on your house. You want to try to do something about it right now. There are different ways that you can try to create a mini Faraday cage kind of thing, one wall to make it, not bounce mm-hmm. into the house, but rather out into the streets. I've heard a number of other things of people who put tin foil readily around it and stuff like that. Anything that you've heard of that works or that you would recommend before the fight could be taken on the paper level, if you will, to get this thing off the house?
Yeah, definitely. There's different things that people have come up with, anything from putting 4 or 5 layers of aluminum foil over the meter and the wall over top of the wall behind the meter, because it does reflect, and if you just do the front face of the meter, then it does bounce back into the home. So it's important to get the front and the back. And obviously, utilities don't like that, and eventually they would probably have be alerted immediately if the signal from the meter goes away. So it's obviously a temporary measure, but there are ways that and a couple of these ways are in the film. And people have made products. There was a smart meter blocker that was on the market for a while, made of a thick lead that went all the way around the meter that prevented it from transmitting. There's Y-Shield paint that people can get, and there's fabrics and cloths that are fairly inexpensive if you're just looking to just to minimize the microwave radiation from a smaller area. But in addition to the microwave radiation issue, Henrik, as we mentioned in the film, there's this whole other can of worms to do with the health aspect here, called the switching mode power supply of the meter, creating what's known as dirty electricity. And that's something that's shown to be potentially as damaging, or possibly even more than the microwave radiation.
Okay, well, we have much more to get into here. Josh, I want to ask you more about some of the examples of what has happened in the past, some of the things in San Diego and some of the towers there that's gone up. And there's much more to discuss when it comes to how not to be dependent and if there's any alternatives in terms of grid and everything else. But let's talk a little bit more about your website before we take a break. I want to give people an opportunity to know how to, just head on to your website and take a look at the film right away. And then also, by the way, you're heading up to Colorado, Jeroen's Global BEM conference later today, I believe. Talk about that a little bit as well.
Absolutely, yeah. I'm really looking forward to going to the Global BEM conference in Colorado. There's something like more than 30 of the world's leading energy technology inventors, researchers, experts talking about this transition and doing the transition to new energy, to free energy and to renewable energy in a democratized way, where the rights of human beings and the environment are respected. So this is like hugely exciting. I've actually never been to a conference like this, but the organizers, Yaron and Stephanie, watched the film and they were quite impressed and they wanted to be part of it and help get the word about it.
And this is, of course, starting here October 10th to the 12th, running up in Colorado, and it's pretty tight in terms of recording this, you know, basically a day before, but we're going to try to have this up, and if anyone is interested in that, you guys can head to Global BEM. That stands for Breakthrough Energy Movement, by the way, globalbem.com for more information if you're around in the Colorado area. I want to check that out and, of course, see Josh there as well.
And they're actually streaming live for free, Henrik, for all 3 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. So they're going into, you know, the red to pull this off. With the floods there that were experienced in Colorado a few weeks ago, they had to downsize the location, but they have a wonderful location at the Days Hotel there, and they're really looking for support. So go on globalbem.com over Thursday, Friday, Saturday, check out the conference, and if you can, make a donation and help offset the costs for the organizers.
We're going to have the links up for that as well, of course. And now your website, takebackyourpower.net. Anything else you want to mention about that or viewing other film, stuff like that, Josh?
We have a worldwide directory on the site. So the idea is that anyone from anywhere in the world who wants to find out what's going on locally, who are the active groups, you know, is there an opt-out? Is there officially an opt-out, and what can I do here locally, can go onto the site, click the connect button, and you'll be a page will come up for the worldwide directory, and there's currently several hundred groups listed on there, that you can get put in touch with, and as well as you can host a screening of the film. The whole idea of the film is that we're putting it in the hands of the people, and you can watch it online, you can share it online, you can buy DVDs, you can buy them below wholesale, and help get the word out in a big way. And you can also host a community screening. And what we've found is when, you know, the film has a powerful effect when people come together and they watch it in a group. And they often, you know, make a decision as a group to basically prevent this in their town or their city. And that's a very, very effective way to create change in your area, is to have a local screening. So we've actually waived the licensing cost for all community screenings, and we're you know, looking forward to just support as many as we can over the next however long it takes to stop this agenda.
Very good. We'll have the links up on the website again. But okay, thanks, Josh. Stay with us here. We'll take a short break, and then we'll proceed at Red Eyes Members for the second hour. We'll be right back with more. In our second hour, we continue to go deeper into the questions that arise from this knowledge and ask, what are the end goals of the smart grid? What truly sustainable solutions are now unfolding that can meet the great challenges faced by our civilization? Josh Del Sol will also talk about the dark agenda, hiding under the guise of energy, unless we prevent it. We'll discuss all of this and much more in the second hour. You can continue to listen at redicemembers.com. And when you acquire a membership, you can access our members' RSS feeds and download or stream every single program from today back to 2006. We are continuing to work on other productions in the background of our radio program, as always, and we have many films, videos, older webcasts, also audio commentaries and music there as well. By the way, you can also comment on the programs and share your thoughts with other members. Russ Baker is up next on the sad fate of journalist Michael Hastings, who passed away in the car wreck in June earlier this year, and also the geopolitical game being played with Syria. We have more coming up after this, so I hope you stay tuned to our websites. Whether you're joining us in the second hour or not, I wish you have a great day and that we can continue to help inform you about both problems and solutions. Thank you for listening.